You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Kramer, and you're listening to The Sweep.
Oh, I have sizzle.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
What is going on, Packer Nation? Welcome back to another episode of The Sweep. My name is Fred Thurston, and with me as always, my co-host, Mr. Blaine Hornes. How's it going?
I'm doing well, Freddie. It feels good to be back. It's nice to have you back from a nice little vacation you were on. I shouldn't say little. It was, what, 10, 12 days?
10, 12 days, yes, sir.
Nice.
Now I have to go back to work, back to the real world, which is just so depressing.
Well, welcome back, buddy.
Yeah, I'm so excited. My wife even said to me the other night, she goes, last night actually, she said, "You've just been so happy the last 2 weeks." And I'm like, I know, it makes a huge difference. But it'll be good to get back in and get back into the groove of things. This month is especially busy for us at The Sweep with all sorts of draft stuff. We are going to be diving into that next week. Full-fledged profiles on each position, whether or not you think we need that position or not. We are going to break it down and let you guys know who we like, who we don't like, and whether or not you think we think that that is a position of need, which we could probably argue any position at this point. You know, and we'll break it down. So make sure you guys stick with us for that. You guys can find us on Twitter at @thesweep_PTTF, or find us on Facebook. Go up to that little search button, type in The Sweep. We should be there. That's where you guys can find all of our episodes, all the latest and greatest news. We are always there to be posting and discussing different things, debating with you guys. We love doing that. So make sure you guys keep doing that. And before we get started in this week's episode, we're going to quick say hey to our sponsors, Pride and Glory Clothing Company, as always, prideandglory63.com. You can go check out their stuff. And, of course, our longest tenured, Ground Round, just amazing. I was there yesterday for lunch, and it was just incredible again. Great food, great service. Brought in the little guy, and the waitress and him were dancing it up and having the time of their life. It was just great. It's a really awesome atmosphere. Lots of TVs, the place to go to watch any sports. We love them. They love us. We are going to be doing lots of fun stuff with them this summer. So make sure you guys check them out if you are in the area, groundroundnina.com. I think that's it. Are we ready to get into some football talk?
I am. Where do you want to start, buddy? I mean, there's quite a bit of stuff we could touch on.
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things that have been happening. I think the one thing I wanted to kind of discuss with you, and we've kind of chatted a little bit about it here and there, especially over vacation, is the team that seems to be doing a lot of stuff in the offseason, and that is the LA Rams, who just keep signing guys and bringing in huge name guys. I mean, big name guys. Big name players building what looks to be the most exciting Madden team in a long time. I think we both asked each other when we talked about it, how are they doing it? How are they putting together these teams? How are they fitting in the cap space? And probably most importantly for Packer fans, why the hell are we not?
Yeah, and you know what? I asked you that question, I think it was, what, 3 or 4 days ago?
Yep.
And then I asked it again, I think yesterday or the day before. And you're right, they just keep coming up with ways to find guys, impact, like big playmaker type guys. You look down that roster from top to bottom, and there's multiple people on that team where you're like, okay, how are we going to stop him? Or, okay, this guy on defense. How are we going to get around him? How are we going to block him and him and him and him? How are we going to throw at this guy? How are we going to throw at this guy? Well, here's the thing. And the question is how are they able to afford this? How are they getting this under the cap? How do they have the cap space to make all these moves? Well, when you have, I believe Todd Gurley is still on his rookie deal, correct?
Yep.
He's got one more year left?
Yep.
And you have Jared Goff, who's on a rookie deal, correct? Yep. I mean, those arguably last year were your two best players. They're not making squat. Their cap hits are minimal to say the at the very least, you know what I mean? So they have money available. And guys like Sammy Watkins, they let walk because the price tag and the production they were getting don't match. That's one of the problems Green Bay has had, in my opinion. I think a guy like Nick Perry, the price tag doesn't match the production. You could throw Clay Matthews in there. You can throw Jordy Nelson in there. You can throw Randall Cobb in there. It's part of the reason Jordy's gone. There was also a few guys like Josh Sitton and TJ Lang that we let go. So we're not comfortable with our roster because it's an unknown roster right now. Yeah, there's players on it that we know and we like, but it's also a new GM. It's turnover. We're not 100% comfortable, and we're all kind of freaking out a little bit because we're just unsure. Well, when Ted left and Goot came in, we should have had this feeling that this was going to happen. There's going to be some turnover. There's going to be some questions. There's going to be some things that happen that we're not used to, and we're not going to be comfortable until we see the product on the field win a few games. Now, back to the Rams, they're all in for, what, the next 2, maybe 3 years? After that, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, they're a two-year team, maybe even one-year team, to be honest with you. Here's the main thing, and I actually talked with Ryan Batley, who is general manager for the Ground Round yesterday. We discussed it, and it all came down to the same thing that we got to see with Seattle a few years ago. When you have a rookie quarterback who is good to great, if you want to consider that, you can spend so much more money everywhere else. For us, it's in the Packer world, we have a quarterback who is arguably the greatest, but we have to pay him like he is the greatest, and that takes away from a lot of other things. Where the Rams have to pay Jared Goff $7 million only this year. We're going to be paying Aaron Rodgers $30 million. That's almost 30% of the entire cap. Here's the way that the Rams have been able to do this. And I can't blame them for it, but they're going all in. You are 100% on that. And if they don't win, if they don't win this year, they're going to be in big trouble. If they don't win next year, they're in just as big of trouble. Because of all of the guys, here's a list of guys that are done after this year, okay, on salary-wise, on contract-wise, sorry. Marcus Peters, Aaron Donald, Todd Gurley, Brandon Cooks, Ndamukong Suh, and LaMarcus Joyner all have to be paid after this year.
Good luck.
They're not going to be able to do it. They just can't. Now, after 2 years, add on Aqib Talib, Andrew Whitworth, their big left tackle, and Jared Goff. There's no way they can do it. It's going to be impossible. They're going to have to let at least 3 or 4 of those guys go. So what they're doing is just bringing everyone in now, mortgaging their future, I think, to win now. And to some people, it's enticing and it's an idea like, oh, let's go. We got to win a Super Bowl. That's the most important thing. But unless they have some type of really genius plan ahead of them, they could be screwing themselves in the long run. And that's kind of the concern. But yeah, I mean, Marcus Peters isn't making squat this year.
Right.
That's incredible. He's a 3-time Pro Bowler. Todd Gurley's still on his rookie contract. Aaron Donald isn't making what Aaron Donald should be making. That is for sure. I think he's making, you know, $8 million or $7 million. Goff is making $7 million.
I guess here's my question, Fred, is – okay, so they traded away a first-round draft pick for and got a fourth for Cooks?
Cooks, yeah.
Or they traded
No, they traded the 1-4 and they got a 1-what was it?
Because they're the only team now that doesn't have a first-round draft pick, correct?
Yes.
This year. So the Patriots gave them a 1-4, or the Rams gave the Patriots a 1-4 for Cooks. Correct?
Yeah, so 1-4. Patriots get a 1-6. The Rams get Cooks in a 4th.
Yeah, so they don't have a first-round draft pick this year.
Yeah.
And they get Cooks for 1 year.
Yes.
That's probably the only move that concerns me for them because it hurts their future. The Ndamukong Suh's a one-year deal. So they borrow him for a year. They pay him not as much as he was making, but still a lot. But they had the room for it. So it's okay. That doesn't hurt him long-term. They don't sign him. They sign probably going to get Donald Dunn for a long-term deal, I would hope. If they let him go, they're doing themselves a big disservice. And matter of fact, I would be very surprised if that deal doesn't get done before this season.
Yeah.
If they let him test free agency, the price tag just goes up a little bit more. But they're not really handcuffing themselves with any of these contracts. They're basically renting these players for a year or two and then just worrying about figuring out how they're going to fill the roster on the back end later. So what's going to happen is they're not going to be any worse than they were last year in 2 years, but they also aren't going to be any better. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Where would you be on that? Would you be willing to sacrifice progression over the next 2 years or 3 years for a potential chance at the Super
Bowl? If they make the Super Bowl, it was worth it.
Super Bowl is worth it, for sure.
They don't have to win it. They just have to make it.
Yeah.
What's scary is that it just reminds me of what the Eagles did, 5 or 6 years ago?
Yes.
When they brought in a shit ton of free agents and called themselves the dream team and all this stuff and ended up sucking it up.
Yeah.
That's the one thing you have to worry about when you're doing this, bringing guys from all over the place, is they're only going to be there for a year. Are they going to get along? Are they going to be able to play together? Are they going to have that brotherhood that Super Bowl teams usually have?
Yeah.
It seems like it takes a year or two for that to happen. Then that's kind of what scares me about Green Bay, is we all have faith that you can get a new GM and bring all these new guys in and boom, Super Bowl. Well, a lot of times that's not the way it works. So if
every time that's not how it works.
Right. And I'm not saying it can't, and I'm not saying it won't. And I'm not saying that I'm not rooting for that, because I am, trust me. But maybe we should scale it back a little bit on expectations before the draft even happens.
I mean, I don't know who this new Blaine is, but I like you.
You got to have confidence and you got to be upbeat and happy and all that stuff, but you also have to be realistic.
Yeah, this has been my MO since day one. And what I think the Rams are doing, it looks really good on paper. And I think the guys that they're bringing in are good fits for the most part. But my biggest concern whenever people talk about signing a bunch of free agents is there has to be a cohesiveness and a chemistry and an ability to work with one another. And when you bring in some guys with some pretty strong egos and stuff like with Aqib Talib and Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald's a tough dude.
There's a reason why those guys didn't stay on the teams they were on.
Right. And that's the concern is, I mean, are they at that point in their career now where they've been humbled a bit and they're just ready to work? You know, I think Ndamukong Suh 4 years ago thought his shit didn't stink and was just a jerk all around. I think he got a little humbled in Miami.
He's still a jerk. He's always going to be an ass.
Maybe like a fraction of less of a jerk. But
you know what I mean? He'll have like 6 or 7 great weeks where he just plays and seems like he's turning the corner, and then he'll have that one thing where he'll step on a guy or he'll throw a guy to the ground after the whistle, or he'll just do something nasty. And everybody gets reminded of all of the shit that he's pulled over the course of his career, and just brings him right back into the gutter. And I don't see that that's ever going to change. I really don't. I hate the guy personally. I don't know him, so I guess it's really hard to hate him. But based off of the things I do know about him and what I've seen on the football field, great player. Great player. If he was a Packer, I'd probably love him. But he's not a Packer, and he's done some nasty crap to the Packers, so I hate him.
He's a dirt. He's just a full-fledged dirtball in my book. It'll be funny.
Another thing about the Rams is you got to wonder, are they just trying to make a splash because of the market they're in?
I thought about that too.
Headlines? Are they trying to sell tickets? Are they trying to, you know, get that season ticket number up before they get their new stadium?
That's exactly my thought process as well the other day was, is this all one big movie-type ploy, you know, it being in Hollywood
imagine the script to that movie if they win the Super Bowl.
Well, it's a hell of a script with a hell of a cast.
Yeah, I mean, and they got a young head coach, and he seems confident. And who knows, maybe this is a new way to do it. We kind of just talked about how it's not usually how it works. Well, maybe it works, and maybe it becomes the norm, and it starts happening a little bit more often.
Well, and that's something, too, that we talked about, me and Ryan had talked about, was, you know, is it if you're a GM and you're starting a franchise, are you going to put your eggs in every other basket, or are you going to – how do I word this the right way? Would you be willing to, if you're starting a franchise, take Aaron Rodgers and a subpar team, or a team with a great defense and a Case Keenum? I mean, is that seems like that's the way that things are kind of changing, in the sense of, you know, three out of the four divisionals were all backup quarterbacks. I mean, you have to consider the idea of, let's put all of our money, let's put all of our resources into the offensive line and the defense. Let a decent facilitator or a rookie play the rookie game, and bring in a rookie quarterback who you think is legit. Let him just facilitate for 3 or 4 years. And then if he's good or if he's not good, you can bounce him before you got to pay him $40 million a year. Because at what point is the salary it's just going to keep going up.
Well, and that I had that discussion with my old man a week ago or so, maybe 2 weeks ago. We started talking about when Rodgers' deal is going to get done. And I said, well, if I'm Rodgers and I want to maximize my dollar, why am I signing? Why am I signing before my contract's up? He doesn't owe Green Bay anything. You know, and like you said, it's only going to go up. So if he can wait and two or three more quarterbacks sign a contract before he has to sign his, I mean, if I'm him, I think I deserve the highest contract a quarterback has in the game.
For sure. And
if he signs a deal before this season starts, next season some guy who's not nearly as good as him or talented as him or even has the potential that he has is going to get paid more than him. He's just going to set the bar for the next guy. No matter when he signs his contract, that's what's going to happen. So why not wait? Get ahead one or two more guys. Why not? What's the big deal for Aaron Rodgers? I mean, and if the Packers decide that they don't want to pay it, Rodgers will land on his feet wherever he goes. He's that good. It doesn't matter. I know that's a terrible outlook as a Packer fan. That's not what I want to happen. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, that's what I'm doing. And for all the people that say that, well, Rodgers should do what Brady's doing and take less money, and if he wants to, those blah, blah, blah. No, he shouldn't. That's not how it works. If he can get more money, he should take it.
Well, and he doesn't have a wife who makes $40 million a year either.
Exactly. He also didn't have 3 or 4 Super Bowls before he started taking pay cuts.
Right. It's easy when you got half your hand covered in Super Bowl rings and your wife's making $40 million to be like, sure, you guys can keep the $3, $4, $5 million.
Yeah, and you have a GM slash head coach who has the rest of the NFL on puppet strings.
Yes.
He seems to be able to do whatever he wants whenever he wants with whoever he wants. I mean, he just rented Brandon Cooks for a year and got a first-round draft pick for him.
Yeah, he gave up a 32, flipped it, and got a 23.
Yeah, and a fourth.
And seven touchdowns last year from Brandon Cooks.
No, it's and another Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah, it's absolutely genius. And I've been saying that for a long time, and as much as I despise the Patriots and the fact that it's just a personal feeling, I will be the first one to credit them for just being absolute geniuses in the front office, and what they do, how they do, and when they do it is just remarkable. And they have everybody completely in their pocket, and they could bring on a player and he could be god awful, and they could get him 2-3 touchdowns in one season and turn and probably get a first round pick for him because he's coming from the Patriots organization. And that's where they just own people. And it's just, it's unfair, but it's also completely fair because they were smart enough to put it together. And I can't hate them because they do it.
Yep.
I mean, if we were doing it, no one would say a damn word about it. But it's impressive. It's extremely impressive. And what I hope that the Goot takes from all this, and I'm sure everyone watches what the front office of New England does, but just to see some of the characteristics that they use. New England's always three steps ahead, so you have to guess what's going to happen two steps ahead. But watching New England and how they're able to manipulate and move guys when most of us think they're in their prime is where they're a genius. And that's where we faulted. You brought it up with Nick Perry, even Clay. I mean, we could have gotten some serious bank for Clay, but we didn't have the foresight to see that he was going to be what he was. So I don't know if New England has witchcraft or voodoo stuff going on, but they are able to basically see what they need to do before any of us can. And that's what makes them so good.
I like to look at Bill Belichick as the bully of the NFL, because it just seems like when he wants to make a deal and he wants something or wants to get rid of something, he always gets a return on his investment.
For sure.
And it's like he tells other teams what's going to happen, and they just say, okay.
Yes,
otherwise,
Daddy.
Otherwise, I don't want to find out what's going to happen if I don't agree to this deal.
Right.
You know, it's almost what it seems like. He's the bully in the schoolyard that gets what he wants when he wants it at any cost. And
he doesn't have to fight for it. He just
happens.
Yeah, he's just incredible, man.
And the even more great thing I think about the whole thing is you never hear about it until it happens.
Yeah.
Every move that actually gets done for the Patriots, you don't hear rumors about any of it. None of it leaks. It's all tight-knit. Nothing happens or gets into the media until Bill Belichick says it gets into the media.
Well, the great thing about Bill is that he implemented that right when he got there, and he shut everything out. I mean, he shut it all down. No talking, no this. And he said, basically, this is how it's going to be. You can follow me and blah, blah, blah. And those who did obviously realized quickly that this guy wasn't fooling. But he's got that whole area in New England that they practice at, they play at, everything like that, on complete lockdown. And that's how it's always been. And I think it's genius to be able to do it. I mean, like, you don't ever hear about it until it says breaking news on ESPN.
Right.
You don't even see it on Twitter. You don't even see it. No one has any secrets or any advance notice. It's when Bill wants you to know, Bill's going to tell you.
Right.
That's it.
Well, and since we're talking about the Patriots a little bit here.
Yeah, you got some good information?
Well, it's not really information. It's just a thought that I kind of mustered up in my head, and I'm sure other people have thought the same thing. But pick number 14, when the Redskins pick at 13, there's Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield or any of the other four or five top quarterbacks, or maybe even the kid from Oklahoma State. Is it possible that Bill Belichick is looking for Tom Brady's replacement at this point in the career? because Tom has always had a backup quarterback who's had some skill, and they've always been comfortable if Tom Brady's gone down. They've always had a plan. Well, last year they kind of traded that plan away because Bill Belichick decided it was a good idea to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo at that time. So at what point and at what position in the draft can they find that security blanket for Tom Brady? Because it seems like damn near every year there's a game or two that Tom Brady doesn't get to play and they still win.
You know, that's true.
So they have 23-31. Is that enough to move up to 14? If I'm Green Bay and there's a quarterback on the board at 13 when the Redskins are picking and they don't take him, I think if that offer comes to the table, you take it. Because if there is one quarterback left in that top four or five, which is Darnold, Rosen, Allen, Mayfield, and Lamar Jackson, if one of those guys is left, that tells me that all the guys that we want Green Bay to take at 14 are probably gone. That means Ward's gone. That means Derwin James is gone. That means Davenport's probably gone. That Vita Vea is probably gone. A lot of the middle linebackers, Tremaine Edmonds or Edmonds, is probably gone. So at that point, is there any – obviously there's value at 14 no matter what. It's probably a starter out of the gate no matter what position you're taking. But if you could get two guys like that on day one at 23-31, a corner and an edge, or an edge and a tackle, or a corner and a tackle, I don't know. In my opinion right now, those are the three biggest needs, is edge, corner, and tackle. And I think they need to find a way to get a third pick in the first two rounds. And to me, that makes sense. If there's a guy left on draft, the first draft night, that the Patriots would be targeting for Tom Brady's backup and possible replacement someday, which has got to be coming soon, that's a potential trade that I can see happening. What do you think about that?
I don't think New England goes after a quarterback in the first round. Even with two picks, even with moving up, I just don't see it. I would assume that Belichick has someone in mind, whether it's this year or next year.
But don't you think he wants a guy to sit for a year before he?
For sure. I mean, I definitely think that, but I don't know if he's. I don't know because I don't know Bill Belichick. But you have to imagine that if he wants to get someone who I think, someone like a Rosen, I don't know if Allen is the kind of quarterback you'd want at New England. Rosen seems like the best option. Darnold, potentially. Baker Mayfield, no. Lamar Jackson, no. But maybe. Bill's weird like that. So it'd be like between Rosen and Mayfield. Rosen and Lamar Jackson, sorry, in my mind. He's not going to be able to trade up to one or two to get Rosen. And then after that, yeah, maybe Lamar Jackson. But I think Bill will go a different direction. He'll either go with the third, fourth round pick and grab a quarterback, because there's some sleepers, deeper guys at quarterback who have a lot of the intangibles and just need to be coached and worked a little bit with the system, and that's what Bill can do better than anybody. So I see it being a later rounds type pick. There's a good quarterback from Virginia. I'm blanking on names right now. There's another one. Let's see here. I think are better options for him. And I think what I see, just from what I've seen from Bill in the past, I think that's something he would do. I think what we're going to see, and you've talked about this before, is it's just going to be absolute chaos with trading in the first round. I think we're going to see people getting traded all over the place because there's such a want for these quarterbacks. Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, Allen, even I think Lamar Jackson's going to be a lot higher than we were all thinking.
Well, that's probably who someone's going to trade up to the 14 range for, right?
I would think. And that's where it kind of Luke Falk from Washington State is another option, I think, for Bill Belichick. But
Mike White, Western Kentucky, Kyle Waddle. Yeah,
there's a lot of more that what I assume. I mean, I'm guessing if Bill wants to continue running his scheme, then those are more suitable quarterbacks than a Baker Mayfield or some of those guys. I just think that there's going to be a lot of frantic moving and leapfrogging coming in the top 10. And I think all those quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10.
Well,
because I think there's just such a dire need for that want for that good rookie quarterback. Because what we have seen now is that with a good rookie quarterback, you can put your money everywhere else and you can have a good 2-3 years of success if you build it right.
Well, they don't have to. I mean, really, it's hard to imagine Bill Belichick without Tom Brady, and it's hard to imagine Tom Brady without Bill Belichick. The question
I can imagine Tom Brady more without Bill Belichick than vice versa.
Right. So the question is does he care? What happens at that position? Does he care long term about the Patriots? Does he really have a vested interest in what happens after he retires?
Are you talking about Bill?
Yes.
I think the rift there is as real as possible. And I think Bill has his ego and he thinks that he can win without Brady. And I don't blame him. I think he could too. And I think Brady thinks that he couldn't win without him. And I think Brady and Kraft are best buddies. And I think Belichick is the outsider in the situation. And I would not be surprised I think Brady will be a Patriot longer than Bill Belichick. And it is interesting, but I think that Bill will be done with it and Bill will leave and prove I can go somewhere and I can coach another team to a Super Bowl, because that will be his best legacy. If he's able to do that, because then it'll show everybody it was not about Tom Brady. It was about me. I was the genius behind the entire thing. And that's where he is. Where Brady will never leave New England. He just will never. Him and Robert Kraft are so close. He just won't. He will retire before he would ever be traded. I wouldn't be surprised if we end up seeing Bill on a different team.
That would surprise me. I'm not going to lie. I think when he's done in New England, I think he's done. I mean, to me, he might have a totally different outlook. I have no idea. He has nothing to prove.
He does. You might not think that, but he feels that, because we have to think of it in Bill Belichick's eyes, and he's so intense that he doesn't want to go in as the most winningest coach or the most Super Bowl winning coach, and everyone go, yeah, but that's because they have Brady, man. No.
I think they both go hand in hand. I think neither one of them.
They do, and I don't think he wants that. That's the thing. I don't think Bill wants that. I think Bill wants to be known as the greatest coach ever, not the greatest coach ever who had Tom Brady.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
people are weird, man. People are egotistical. People are self-centered, and people want all the glory to themselves. And I see that being the situation.
How many years does he have left?
Who, Belichick?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a good amount of years left.
Well,
I don't know.
That remains to be seen. We'll see. I think that there's a chance that – I thought if he was going to leave, this was going to be the year, because he had the markets that would have been perfect for him in New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many coaching jobs were open this year? And I know there's a bunch every year, but –
Well, for Bill Belichick, any.
The Giants would have been the best situation for him. Players want to play in New York.
Yeah. But here's the thing, and here's the reason why I would disagree with what I said, and the only reason I would disagree with the fact that I think Bill would go somewhere else, is that he is 65. Does he want to spend 3 years rebuilding something, and does he have that in him?
That's what I mean about how much time does he have left.
And so that's the concern I have. But back to the draft quick. I think that what we're going to see is just an influx and a craziness of teams trying to leapfrog up Arizona, Buffalo, Miami.
Well, here's all
the teams that need a quarterback.
Here's a quick tidbit for you. So Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Baker Mayfield all have grades of at least 90 on Scouts Inc.,
which is ridiculous.
It's the first time in 15 years that four quarterbacks in the same draft grade or in the same draft have had a grade that high, above 90. Baker Mayfield is 91, Rosen 92, Allen 92, and Darnold 94. So if that first time in 15 years, I mean, so 2003 would have been the last year, and I can't even tell you who the four in the draft that year were. But for this to happen once every 15 years, that's why what Fred and I are talking about with the madness on Thursday night for the first round of the draft, that's why. Because it just doesn't happen. I mean, this will happen maybe three or four times in our lifetime.
It's to me, I don't buy it because I don't know if all four of them are that great. But that is the exact reason. That is the reason that it's going to be teams are going to be just tossing guys around and picks around to try to get whoever they could get and whatever quarterback they could get. And you could even go past those four. I mean, I don't sleep on Lamar Jackson. I don't. And I think what's going to happen for Lamar Jackson, and this is going to be perfect for him, is he's going to drop and he'll end up in a team somewhere between 14 and 24. And those are teams that don't need a whole lot of work. And he could go in and end up being on a good team and be just a stud.
So there's going to be, I just looked it up. In 2003, you want to know?
Carson Palmer. I know that one, but I don't know anyone else.
Byron Leftwich.
Okay.
Kyle Bowler.
Yeah.
And Rex Grossman.
There you go, folks. There's the same thing. And let's be real. That's a extremely comparable to these four guys with Rex Grossman and Baker Mayfield. Byron Leftwich and Josh Allen, small schools, big arms. Baker and Rex, small, but very consistent in their collegiate careers. Palmer and Darnold, USC guys, both, I think, similar in their throwings as well. And then who else did you have? Well, Kyle Bowler and Josh Rosen. I mean, those are very similar comparisons. I mean, if you really want to sit down and look at it, And I feel the same way about this year's draft. I think people are going to go nuts about it. I don't buy into Baker Mayfield. Rosen confuses me because he seems like there's just been some issues. Darnold, supposed to be so great, but when I watch film, I see him make such stupid mistakes.
Well, you want to know what's crazy about USC quarterbacks? I don't think there's ever been a USC quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Ever.
I don't know if I can say ever, but
I'm definitely not. I'm 98% sure that there's never been a USC quarterback that's won a Super Bowl.
And rarely are they very successful in the NFL outside of Carson Palmer.
Well, they're always hyped up because they're the West Coast big.
They're USC.
Usually USC is good. You know, I mean, they're usually a good team in college, and the quarterback gets all the credit no matter where you're at. So they're highly touted. And they get good grades because they have some of the best players in the country playing around them on a regular basis at wide receiver and running back and offensive line. So they look great around all these top-notch talented players compared to the competition that they're playing. Now you put these guys against top-notch players at every position, and they look average. You know, like the teams that they're playing against on the other side of the ball. Now you make all that talent equal and the quarterbacks look what they are. I mean, Carson Palmer is probably the best USC quarterback in our lifetime, right?
Probably ever.
And he's been – I don't even think he's made a conference championship game. Or no, he did with Arizona a couple years ago. when they beat Green Bay?
Was that Palmer?
Unless they had a backup in.
Wasn't Kurt Warner, was it?
No, I think Kurt was done by then. But that's beside the point.
Right.
The UFC hype at quarterback, I think, is fool's gold. And I guess at any time that can get flipped. But the funnest, the most fun part about the draft this year is going to be the madness on day one. And I wouldn't say the madness on day one stops. I think it continues. I think you're going to see that into the second, third, and fourth round, because I think this draft is deep, at especially a couple of spots like corner. And if we've noticed anything over the last 3 or 4 years, it's if you have a solid secondary and an okay pass rush, or vice versa, a really good pass rush and a solid secondary, you're probably going to have some success regardless of what you have on the offensive side of the ball.
I agree. It's going to be a fantastic draft. It always is. I'm excited for the madness.
My question to you is, and I know I told everybody to kind of temper back some expectations, but you look at the Packers roster right now. You look up and down that roster.
Yep.
It's not a Super Bowl contending roster.
No.
There's not only is there holes in the starting lineup, there's a lot of holes in your second and third spots as well. Because right now on the offensive line, you probably have, okay, let's say Bulaga is 100% healthy. Great. He hasn't, what's he played?
One for how long?
Well, he's played one full season his whole career.
Yeah.
What do you have behind him? Kyle Murphy?
Spriggs.
Well, I'm not even going to talk about him. He's one of the biggest disappointments in yours and my eyes in how many drafts. But Kyle Murphy, if he has to start because Bulaga is not ready at the beginning of the year, that's a problem. Now, can he play a few games as a spot start and fill in for injury? That's totally fine. That's what he is in my eyes. Now, McCray starting at guard? The same situation. That makes me a little nervous because, okay, you take one of your best backup offensive linemen in McCray and Murphy, and all of a sudden they're starters. Okay, then what's the level of talent at the backup position? If those guys are your starters, your backups must not be very good.
I think that is our bigger issue is the backup situation for a lot of positions.
Okay, who's starting at corner right now? Tremont Williams and Kevin King? A second year player is your number one corner
That's my number one need for starting for sure is corner.
And who's your third corner?
Quentin Rollins?
Exactly. I mean, most teams are starting three corners these days.
Well, it is a passing league.
Exactly. And then
so that's why I'm concerned why we're not.
Yeah, Ha-Ha, and Josh Jones, and Kentrell Bryce at safety.
Yeah.
Now, if you get 2016 Ha-Ha, you're probably okay. Josh Jones, flip a coin. You just don't know. Does he make that jump in year two? I think he has the ability to.
Well, I think being able to put Josh Jones in a single position instead of throwing him all over the place as a rookie. I mean, that's easy for any rookie.
That's another thing too, is we it's hard to say what our roster is based off of what defense we played last year. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen with Pettine.
Yeah.
I mean, he could make some of these guys that we don't even talk about look like all-stars.
For sure. He's done it before.
Now, everybody that's excited about Tremont, I was too, and then I started thinking about him like, well, he had Tyrann Mathieu and Peterson on the other side. Pretty easy to look good when you got two guys like that playing alongside you, right?
Well, Tremont needs to be a three or four. He does not need to be a two at all. So I hope that they don't think that, because if they think that he's a viable number two, then we're going to have a long season.
I mean, even if they were to get Denzel Ward in the draft, I'm still not 100% confident in that secondary, because you have a rookie and a second-year guy as your top two corners.
Right.
And that's a dangerous game to play.
I agree, and here's where why I differ is because I like Kevin King, and I think Kevin King has all the potential and will make that step this year
if he's healthy.
And I think pleasantly surprised a lot of people. So I'm okay with that part. And then if you do bring in a guy at 14, like a Ward or Derwin James, I'm okay with that as well. But we still need like one or two guys. Because even then, you're still looking at only three potential guys. So I think bringing in someone else will be important before the season starts. And I think that's what Goode is doing. I think he's just going through the progressions and seeing how the rounds go. And eventually, you know, there's still a couple names out there that are viable. But that's still number one need in my book right now, is to lock up that corner spot, whether that be number 14 in the draft or 14 in the draft and free agent, which is what I think they need to do.
That's why I think they need to get another pick in the first or second round.
Right. You know, here's the other thing. Here's the thing. I'm going to quick touch on this, and then let's take a quick break. Everyone is so hell-bent on pass rush, and I don't blame anyone for thinking that, because it's been obvious how we've been in the last few years. But and this is so weird for me of all people to say, but I want to see what Pettine can do with Matthews and Perry, because we know that there is talent there. Matthews is a talented guy, and he can still disrupt offenses. Perry has shown flashes of being good. Were they both just subjects of Capers' shitty-ass defense, and will Pettine be able to revive them? Now, I'm not saying that I want them back long-term. Don't get me wrong. But for this year alone, is it possible that those two are sufficient enough with Beagle coming in? And people don't love Beagle, or they're not sold yet because of injury. But with Beagle and a few other guys, Fackrell kind of coming in.
Oh, give me a break.
I know. But just listen, for some depth, is that enough?
No.
To warrant not using that first pick on a pass rusher and maybe getting a second or third? See, I disagree.
Here's the reasoning, Fred, because we've been playing that game for how many years now, and that's why we're in the position we're in. I don't care if Clay and Perry have the best years of their career this year. They still need to have a pass rusher behind them, because those two aren't going to be here forever.
Wait until we
have to have one to pick one, because then it's too late. Then you have two or three years of the guy developing and finding his feet and becoming the next Clay.
So then you're saying that you think that if we draft a pass rusher at 14, that we need to give him two or three years to develop?
It's going to take 2 years, at least.
Not if I'm drafting him at 14. He better be able to come in and play right now.
Marcus Davenport can play. He can be a spot player and have an impact on the team, but not be your every down pass rusher. And that's what I think.
At 14, I need him to.
There's no such thing as every down pass rusher anymore.
Okay, but I'm not drafting a guy.
Unless you think you're going to get the next Von Miller.
Why can't we at 14? Why can't we get J.J. Watt at 14? He went, what, 9?
You're talking about once every one.
I get that.
Out of every 5 years.
I get that.
14.
But if you're
still
but
not
if you're telling
guys, those are top 10 picks you're talking about. And here's another thing: is Green Bay is going to be in a position to where the pick is going to be made for them pretty much at 14. And that's my true opinion. There's going to be a guy left on the board that they're going to have to pick. Whoever it is, because that's just where they are in the draft. And that's what sucks about having won a couple more games that Green Bay probably shouldn't have won. Cleveland comes to mind. They could have moved up a few more spots with a couple more losses. I'm not advocating throwing games or any of that shit. But 14 is like no man's land. I would say from like 12 to 18 is no man's land in the draft, where you're either going to reach a little bit or you're going to want to trade back, you know, or you're always going to think at 14, well, I probably could have got this guy at 20, or a guy very similar to that at 20. And that's why I think that the guy that I think is the most intriguing to me, and I'm sick of seeing his name at 14, but it makes sense, especially in the scenario that you're talking about, Pettine making Clay and Perry look good again is Marcus Davenport. He is a guy that needs a little bit of fine-tuning. He has all the physical tools and attributes. He just needs some work. He needs to learn how to play at a higher level against better competition. That's going to take a year or two. Now, if Denzel Ward or Derwin James or one of the other guys is there, obviously that the pick is made for them then. But if they're not, you seriously have to consider trading back, getting another pick in the first or second round, or picking up a project. And by project, I mean a 1 or 2 year player, a guy that can contribute in small amounts year one, but is going to take some fine tuning to become that superstar. And I know you think that at 14, it should be a surefire starter, make an immediate impact, but yeah, there's guys that get picked in the top five that don't pan out that good. There's going to be probably 3 or 4 from this year that are picked in the top 10 that don't pan out like that because they're all going to be quarterbacks. The 4 that we just named in 2003 that were picked in the first round, 1 out of those 4 had a successful career.
Right, but that's also a quarterback going on that type of team. I think if you're going to draft a pass rusher at 14.
If it was easy, everybody would do it, Fred.
He needs to be able to contribute. Well, quarterbacks got to learn a whole different ballgame. I mean, they have so much more on their plate than what a defensive end pass rush specialist. I mean, all he's got to do is come in and rush the quarterback. And obviously there's other schemes and things like that. I'm not saying he doesn't know that. But at 14, if I'm drafting a pass rushing edge rusher where his job is to go and get the quarterback, I'm going to expect that at 14.
So do you reach and take Harold Landry there? A guy that I think you could probably get around the 20 mark?
Reach – okay, but that's a reach according to you, though.
You don't think that would be a reach right now based off of draft projections?
No. I don't – the draft projections of who, though?
The people that do this every day.
Yeah, but there's people who do this that make no sense. There's Matt Miller, draft scout, NFL draft scout, huge deal. He has guys in completely crazy positions – just to throw in screwballs so people will talk about it. I'm not going to believe what any of their mock drafts are because everyone releases a new mock draft every other week just to try to get a rise out of people.
Well, and I'm not.
I think if Harold Landry is as good as people want to say Harold Landry is and Goot thinks so, then at 14, I don't think it's a reach ever. If you get the guy that you think is the best available for your team at that time, it's not a reach. Whether or not he would drop to 20, or if you think he's a 20, 21 type guy, I mean, that's...
So if you think you can get Harold Landry at 20 and you can trade back and get another pick...
I don't know if I can get Harold Landry at 20. I don't know if I can get Harold Landry at 14. Someone could easily trade up and get Harold Landry because they have a value.
But you and I both know that on draft day, there's ideas and... Goot has relationships with teams between 14 and 20, and he could find out. I mean, it's not going to be hard to look at the teams and find out what they're targeting and know.
I know, but
– or have a really good idea of what they're going to pick.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing that the option of trading back is gone. I think that's a very good option.
And I'm not saying that Harold Landry is not worth the 14th pick. I'm saying
could very well
there's
be
a really good possibility that they can get him later if they trade back.
I know what you want. I know where your mind is on this draft, and you are very focused on getting a few more number ones.
They have
one more number one.
In my mind, that's what they need to do because there's too many holes to not have. And I agree with you. When you pick guys in the first and second round, you want them to come in and be impact. You want them to be players that are contributing day one. And
my thought process here is that, and I understand what you're saying. I think that with the 14th pick, if you're drafting an edge rusher, like, okay, fine, let Clay and Nick Perry play their last season out. But that's got to be the guy then. And that guy's got to – he's got to bite into their time, and he's got to be the starter by the end of the season because that's a high pick. If you're drafting – if now if we're talking we're drafting 25.
Let me ask you this.
Give them a year. But I'm thinking that you have to, in this circumstance, when you consider the three positions that are in most need, corner, offensive line, and edge rusher, the one position out of those three that do have two viable starters is edge rusher. Corner, we do not. We have Kevin King, and that's it. Right side of the line, we have potentially Blaga, but we don't know. And then a McCray at guard. So you have two very wishy-washy, whereas on edge rusher, we do have Perry and Matthews. Now, are they the long-term answer? Absolutely not. Are they worth what we're paying them? Absolutely not. But at least we have viable options there for this season. Now, if we want to use next year's first round or use a second in this round this year to get an edge rusher, that's fine. But you have to use at number 14 a pick on somebody that can go into either the guard or tackle position or the corner position and start, because we need those.
I want to hear something come out of your mouth right now. I want to hear whose fault this is. You know who I'm talking about.
Take a quick second and say hey to Ground Round. We're going to take a quick second. I'll think about maybe admitting that. And when we come back, we'll finish up with a couple more things before we spend another 6 hours talking about the draft. So let's quick say hey to Ryan Batley and the crew down at Ground Round.
Hey, Packer fans. It's Ryan Batley from the Ground Round in Neenah. What an offseason it has been. I don't know if anyone saw all these changes coming, but I sure didn't. Either way, it's an exciting time to be a Packers fan. Speaking of exciting, we have a lot going on at the restaurant as well. A brand new breakfast menu, an updated dinner menu, and monthly specials and events to keep you coming back. Don't forget, Ground Round is the place to be for Wisconsin sports. We have 21 TVs in the sports lounge, giving you a perfect view from any seat in the house. We also have happy hour 7 days and 7 nights of the week from 3 to 6 and 9 to midnight, including our free taco nacho bar Monday through Friday. Ground Round can still be part of your day even without coming into the restaurant. We deliver our full menu 7 days a week with everything from soup to salad, wings to burgers, and seafood to steaks. You can order online at groundroundnina.com or by calling us at 725-1010. Thanks for listening, and now back to the suite.
All right, thanks, Batley. Make sure you guys go and check out Ground Round if you guys are in the area. One of the best places in the Fox Valley for food and sports and activities and golf and all that goodness. I'm telling you, it's the place
to go. Best happy hour in the Valley, in my opinion.
Yes. And speaking of unhappy people, Blaine is still fired up, ranting and raving about what we just talked about. We just got done talking about what we should do with the 14th pick, which I think we agree, disagree. Bottom line, from my point of view, is that I believe that at the 14, you got to get someone that it will make an immediate impact. And to me, I think that with what we need right now, you have to look at the corner position. If we can't get one of those top guys, then I agree with Blaine in that you look at trading down, because at this point, we are at kind of that position in that part of the draft where you can get teams who are desperate for that last quarterback to trade up. So I think right now you hope for those corners to drop to you. And if not, then you have a contingency plan of trading back and then getting a corner in a latter part of the first or even the early second. And then also look at your offensive line and your edge rushing.
Thank you. Now, I just want to clear this up in case people didn't catch the last part of our conversation. Your guy, the senile man himself, the blank stare ghost, the guy who wears goofy hats and goofy socks with tennis shoes. And
hey, don't make fun of his hats, man.
It's his fault.
He's allergic to the sun.
The problem we have right now with this roster and the holes that they have, it's his fault. And I want you to say it. I want you to say it. This is the man's name. It's his fault. I want to hear you say it.
This is Dom Capers' fault.
Oh, no.
Yes, it is.
So it's Dom Capers' fault we haven't had a pass rusher on the roster better than Clay Matthews.
We've had good pass rushers. Dom didn't use them right.
Okay. You know what? I hope you're right. But the fact of the matter remains that having Perry and Matthews is not enough.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you this.
They need another guy in that rotation that's good. And when Peppers left, they lost it.
Okay. I'll tell you this. One, I still – first of all, I do want to see how Beagle comes off this year. I'm not saying he's going to take the position over, but let's give him a shot. Second –
But isn't that what we need? We need somebody to be like Clay was 5 years ago.
Maybe that's him. We don't know. We didn't know Clay was going to be that good. No one knew Clay was going to be that good.
To get him, so we had high expectations. Tell me your expectations for Vince Beagle. I have zero. I don't know why, because he was, a fifth-round draft pick, and he was on IR for 8 weeks last year before he even touched the field.
I think that he will make a contribution. I don't think he's a starting guy. But let me just say this. I will say that Ted Thompson did screw up the cornerback position. That's what I'll give you. I won't say the pass rush, because I truly do believe that there was some Dom Capers issue there. But what about the cornerback position? What?
What about safety?
No, I don't think safety's bad. I think we're fine at safety. But I think letting
Micah Hyde and Morgan Burnett in the last 2 years walk away has...
Well, Burnett isn't that surprising. Hyde, to me, is a little bit more surprising. Hyde was kind of a corner safety, so I'm going to put him into the list as a cornerback.
But the perfect example of what Green Bay needs.
Hyde going, Hayward going, drafting Randall and Rollins, putting Randall out of position. All those, I think were... big mistakes, because if you were to now in the same breath, it's also props to him for drafting all those guys, because they're all pretty dang good. But if you're looking at what we potentially could have if you took away injuries and trading, I mean, we would have Sam Shields, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, Haha Clinton Dix.
But he was here through the string of bad, of all that bad stuff happening. He didn't do anything to fix it. And in the midst of all of that, he also let pass rush go to the wayside. He's also never really had an impact middle linebacker. He's also never had a...
There's not many middle linebackers like that out there.
I'm not looking for a Luke Kuechly. I'm looking for... I mean, and Blake Martinez is probably the closest thing to it. So I'll give him a little bit of credit there. I guess the jury will still be out to see what he turns out to be over the course of his career, because he's still relatively young. So maybe I'll give him a pass on that, but it took how long to get Blake Martinez? I mean, the next best guy before Blake Martinez was A.J. Hawk.
Yeah.
And then before that was Nick Barnett. And we're talking about guys over the last, 15, 20 years? We've had three guys that have been solid. Not good, not great, but just, they're good enough. Three. But my point is he's kept the salary cap in check, and he's had a mask of Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. But really, besides the offensive line and quarterbacks, he's just been average. And people want to say wide receiver. Yeah, well, when you got Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre throwing your guys the ball, they pretty much make everybody look good. And you can't tell me that he's hit on all these wide receivers, that all these other teams are passing all of these guys up, and they come to Green Bay and they're great, and when they leave, they suck, and Ted gets credit for that. He's been good at two positions, offensive line and quarterback. The rest he's kind of missed on. He had two good free agent signings in his career, Chuck Woodson and Peppers. I mean – and yes, he was here when they won a Super Bowl on the arm of Aaron Rodgers and a couple of defensive players. I mean, people want to look at the roster for 2010. That wasn't the Super Bowl roster either. They just got hot, and Aaron Rodgers carried them through. And they're lucky they had Nick Collins.
All right.
The Packers have done more. I should say Aaron Rodgers has done more with less than any other team in the NFL.
I'll agree with you on that.
The only other team I'm taking out of there is the Patriots, because Bill Belichick always does more with less. And it's getting to the point where you need to start Green Bay is probably never going to have a top 10 pick, maybe once out of every 15 years. I mean, the last time, and I believe that who drafted A.J. Hawk fifth overall? Was that Thompson's first draft? Or was that the year before? I mean, that's a prime example of when a team, and I don't know if they had an opportunity, it was a long time ago. They probably should have traded back.
That was a year after his second year.
Right. So, I mean, I don't want to make that mistake again. I don't want to get a guy at the top in the top half of the first round that ends up being an average player his entire NFL career. I would rather trade back and get two average players that can come in and contribute, maybe not be superstars, but they can come in and contribute. I'd rather get two of those guys instead of one. Because I think at 14, if you don't get Denzel Ward or Derwin James, I think anything else you get there is that's what you're going to get. You're going to get an average guy over the course. He's going to have a nice – probably 8-9 year NFL career, and he's going to be average. Now, if you can get two of those guys in the first round or first round and early second, I think you take advantage of that and do that. Because two average guys is better than one. Now, one superstar is better than two average guys. So, I mean, it's.
Yeah, so aren't you basically, you just got done saying that putting average guys around Aaron Rodgers doing more with less. I mean, isn't that the same thing then? We're just putting average guys around him?
At this point, you have to because you don't have average guys on your roster to fill it.
I don't know.
And if you can't get one of the top two guys at 14 between James and Ward, I think you're going to get the same caliber player that you would get in the 20s. That's my point, is that that's my opinion of looking at this draft class and guys that are supposed to go in the first and early second round is after that top 10, or let's say top 15, I think that you drop down to that next tier and that next tier is a lot bigger. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I hear you.
And we'll get into it. When we break these guys down next week, people might understand a little bit more on what I'm trying to get at is the amount of holes that Green Bay has, you need to fill them with guys that can play tomorrow. Can you get a guy like that at 14? Yeah, I think you can. But I think you can get two of them if Green Bay can find a trade partner. And that's a whole other scenario. Is all this stuff I'm talking about, it might not even present itself. Green Bay might not even get a call for that pick. And I won't blame them for that, but we'll know. We might not know that night, but eventually we'll find out if there's anybody talking to them about trading up for that pick. And like I said, the pick will be the situation will play itself out that night when the Redskins pick at 13. The pick almost makes itself.
Yeah.
Either the pick either makes itself or tells you, yeah, we should probably try to trade back if we can. That's where I'm at.
All right. We're going to end it there for today. And make sure you guys check us out on the sweep_PTTF on Twitter and then also on Facebook. Check us out, the sweep. Go up to the search button, hit the sweep. We will make sure and keep you guys up to date with any news that is happening at 1265. And then also next week, we will be starting our draft analysis, going through all the different positions, players, people we like, people we don't like. Make sure you guys check out packtothefuture.com. That's pack, as in Packers, packtothefuture.com. That is our home base. Tons of different podcasts, writings. We do a lot of draft stuff on there, a lot of scouting profiles. I will be doing my annual 7-round mock draft for the Green Bay Packers coming up here soon, which
you got to get on that. I'm looking forward to that.
It is.
Is that going to be out before we do our?
That'll be out probably about a week before the draft. I'm going to make people wait a little bit on this one. And to be honest, folks, I spent a majority of my vacation staring at my computer, looking at all the draft picks and where I thought we would go, what we would do. And I'm dumbfounded because it's the first year I don't have the Ted Thompson rules to go by. So it's like a whole new ball game. I love it. I really do. I love Ted, but I'm enjoying this new outlook. And just so we're all clear,
is this mock draft what you think they're going to do or what you want them to do?
It is more of what I think they will do than what I want. Okay. So that
changes a lot of stuff.
Big difference.
And I know that people that don't do this stuff might not understand that, but between what we think about players and how good they are, based off of watching film and reading all the statistics and all the measurables and all that stuff, what we want and what we think the Packers are going to do most of the time differs.
Totally differ. And that's the thing is that when I go through and I do it, I mean, there are guys that eventually the more I watch, the more I study, the more I pay attention to, you start to grow a little bit of an affinity towards that guy.
I'm in love with Ward. I mean, I think
for sure. And the more you spend time with the person, the more you think, you know, you do develop that. So a lot of times, you know, I have to differentiate, but for the most part, 99% of it is guys that it is what I think is going to happen. There's even a couple trades that I threw in there because I do think that there will be trades. And so I try to add those in there to kind of mimic what I think is going to happen. And then I go based on what I think we need, best player available, and what I think other teams are going to be doing around that time as well. So it's not me throwing out a bunch of names of guys that I like. It's really I've kind of put myself in a war room for a little bit, and I try to map everything out, and I'm usually not very right, but I have I got Spriggs right a couple years ago, so that was that's a plus. But I will be releasing that in a couple.
Got Spriggs right, and I got Josh Jones right.
Yes, you got Josh Jones right. So you know we're not that bad.
I'm still high on him, by the way.
I am too. I think this year will be a better year because he'll have more of a lockdown position instead of being thrown into the fire, going everywhere as a rookie is intense. But yeah, so we will be back. We will be all up in your grill for the next few weeks until the draft. And make sure you guys, if you do need somewhere to go to watch the draft, there's only one place to go, and that's the Ground Round. So make sure you guys check that out. Any final thoughts, Blaine?
No, sir. I'm excited. I've got a lot of stuff already on guys. The preview that we'll do next week, a lot of the guys that I'll be talking about are guys that I like, not necessarily guys that I think Green Bay will pick. There's a few that I do like that I think they should pick. Will they? Maybe, maybe not. Like I said last year, I got lucky on one, and it was exactly what you said. Is I didn't really know a lot about Josh Jones until I started looking into it, and the more and more I watched, the more and more I liked, and the more and more I wanted him to be a Packer, and it ended up working out for me. So I was excited about that. I'm excited to try to find another guy like that, you know, guy that people aren't talking about, that everything you watch tells you he should work out. And that's what's fun for me about this, is even if Green Bay wouldn't have picked him, I had my eye on him to find out where he was going to be, so I could follow him a little bit afterwards. And I think that's why I've fallen in love with the draft in this whole process, is you invest your time in watching these guys and find out, because we don't get to see all this stuff. I don't have time to watch every college game that's on Saturday. I watch the Badgers and maybe a primetime game, and that's about it. So that's what's fun, is you get – I love the Packers, don't get me wrong, but I also like to follow the NFL. I mean, football is a passion of mine. And when you know players on other teams because you watched them – watch their film coming through the draft process, it makes it a lot more enjoyable to watch football on Sunday and Monday and Thursday and any other day they decide to throw NFL games on in the future. So if you don't get involved in the draft process, I encourage you, if you have some time, just go out there and pick a few names. You know, go into the mock drafts and find some names that you might not necessarily think Green Bay is going to pick, but you know, you read something about them and you like it. Go watch some of their film. Find out what type of player they are. You're going to find somebody that you fall in love with, and you're going to follow them their whole career. And that's the funnest part about this whole draft process for me. And I'm excited about it. I can't wait to talk to you about it next week.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You definitely find someone you dig and you kind of follow them. I love seeing guys. I follow guys from high school all the way up through college and into the pros. And a lot of 98% of the guys don't end up on the Packers, but it's always great when I look down in the stat line and I see a guy that I remember watching in high school or even in early college and seeing that he had a 100-yard reception game. You start to develop a family type feel to it. Not obviously as intense as a family, but you kind of look out for these guys and it's kind of cool to see them do good and you kind of root for them. So the draft is a fun time. It's the future. It's what we have to look forward to for our what we're going to see as Packer fans and as NFL fans. So I love it. Everyone knows that. We're going to make sure and give you guys as much info on here as we can so that you guys can potentially develop your own guys. So make sure you guys follow us, like I said, on Twitter and Facebook, and we will be back next week with our first edition of the draft analysis from the sweep. Thanks for listening, and as always, go Pack, go.
Go Pack, baby.